And at 8 a.m. I'll join Miss Tracy in my third grade grammar school. But I'll learn my mathematics when Jen Rummy rolls.
All righty. That was, Jen Rummy. Jen Rummy Rules from Chip Taylor's a brand new album.
One, two, three.
Hey! That Chip Taylor, boy, he jumps in. We just will not keep his mouth shut, will he? Chip, how are you doing this morning?
Yeah, good, Chip.
I got the narratives.
All righty. So we have Chip Taylor right here in the studio.
Great to see you, Che.
And good to see you all the way across the continent to the west once again, huh?
Right. We were supposed to be here with the young lady Kendall Carson, who got that terrible flu and is back home in Canada and resting. But John Platania, the fellow that played with Van Morrison and Moondance at Domino and plays with Van off and on now and with me when he's not doing that, is here with us today. John Platania.
John, welcome.
How you doing, Che?
Good to see you. Good to see you.
Being in this beautiful little town.
So you guys are from New York State. You're from
right. I'm a little bit upstate.
Uh-huh. And you're still in the city, Chip.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's it like back there right now? What's the weather like? Is it
fall? Well, I heard. You think it's the baseball games there tonight in the World Series, and I hear the sun is shining, and it's probably a lot cooler than it is here, because this is particularly warm, isn't it?
It is.
I think it's probably around 50 degrees back home, but sunshine,
that's
not
nice.
So bad.
Good day for a ball game.
Sure.
Have you been to the new stadium?
I have not.
Are you a baseball fan?
When I was a kid, I was, but not so much that I would take away from writing a song to go to a game or something. No.
You know, like you, I was a baseball fan when I was a kid, and then didn't follow the sport for years and years and years, and now I have a teenage daughter who's fallen in love with baseball, so it's rekindled my interest in
her. Oh, sure, that will do
it's
it.
It's like my daughter, same thing.
Really?
She rekindled my interest a couple, like, starting last year.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah. Now, is she playing your daughter, Che?
No, she's not playing, actually.
She just likes
the game, yeah.
No, that's great.
So tell us, what are you doing out here?
And, well, I have my new album is called Yonkers, New York, and it I'm out around playing those songs, and it's an album that kind of takes me back to growing up with my brothers and my mom and dad. My brother, as some people know, is John Voight, the actor, and the other, my given the family name was Voight, I was James Wesley Voight, before I became Chip Taylor. And my other brother, Barry, John's the middle one, Barry's the eldest, Barry's the guy that invented the formula that predicts when volcanoes will erupt. And in his community, he's certainly more important than John and I are in our communities. But they're great, great guys, and they're characters, and we had wonderful times growing up. So this album reflects that period of time and stuff with Dad and Mom. And
wow, that's pretty neat. It's sort of neat to get enough mileage on life where you can look back and do something like that, you know, and realize how precious that was.
Huh? Yeah, it was a precious time, you know, and things. I'm a stream of consciousness writer, so I don't really use my brain to show me where to go or where not to, but I guess it was back about 6 months ago I picked up the guitar and all of a sudden I wrote one song that reflected that and then another one and another one, and there I was with a body of work then. And it reminds me a little bit, I had an album out in the 70s called Last Chance, and it reminds me a little bit of Last Chance in terms of the instrumentation, and it's more like of a folk country album, almost like, you know, Last Chance was like that. So this is a little bit more in that area. We have pedal steel on it, and where I haven't had that in a few years on my records.
Uh-huh. Cool. What, do you want to do something from it?
Sure. Well, I'll take you back to when I was about 5 years old. My mom and dad had got me a fiddle when 5 or 6 years old, and I was very happy to have the fiddle. And then something happened, and my brother's got in the way of that dream of being a violinist. And here's how they did that. There was a ukulele. Oh, by the way, my brother John did appear with me several times. We're playing in Davis tonight at the Palms, if anybody wants to come there. But my brother John was at the show in Los Angeles and San Francisco and joined me on stage, and he actually sang the song with me.
On this trip?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's great.
That was fun. So here we go. There was a ukulele waiting under my seventh Christmas tree. Until then, I was a fiddler. But my brothers had enough of me. He said, "Oh, mommy, whoa, daddy, if you could stop that screeching, it'd sure make us happy. Merry Christmas, oh, my bastard brothers." And from the ukulele to the guitar in my country high school band, well, we were signed to an all-black record label, just white boys pissing in the wind. I said, "Oh, mommy, oh, daddy, can't sell no records, but I sure am happy in the business. Oh, Merry Christmas." So I signed me a contract to write songs for others, to find me a way to get back at my brothers. If it wasn't for those slimy, sneaky mother jumpers, I could have been a train man, could have been a trucker. Put me on an oil rig back in Calcutta like Itzhak Perlman and Carnegie Hall. I could have had it all. If it wasn't for my bastard brothers. Here we go, John Platania playing a little Taylor guitar. Said, "Oh, mommy, oh, daddy, if you could stop that screeching, it would sure make us happy. Merry Christmas, oh, my bastard brothers." So I signed me a contract to write songs for others, find me a way to get back at my brothers. If it wasn't for those slimy, sneaky mother jumpers, I could have been a train man, could have been a trucker. Put me on an oil rig back in Calcutta like Itzhak Perlman in Carnegie Hall. I could have had it all if it wasn't for my bastard brothers.
I like that. You go, so there, take that. Huh?
Yeah. Actually, my mom, when she passed away in 95, and one of the, she was just, I was very close to mom, and she was wonderful. She didn't care what I did, if I was gambling or not. She loved my gambling. But for those who don't know, you and I talked about it, but I was an addicted gambler for many years, and I loved gambling, and I worked very hard to be good at it. But when I was writing my hit songs back in the 60s, I was making a couple of bets a day, and then I gave up music entirely in 1980 and 81 until 1995, and I just gambled. And so I had lots of gambling friends. And mom, my point is that mom never turned her back on that. She just, that was okay with her. But she loved all my friends as long as they were good people. She loved them. But the one thing she never forgot was when my brothers took the fiddle away, and on her deathbed, a couple of days before she passed away, she called my brothers into the room. He said, "Boys, I just want to tell you something. It wasn't a nice thing that we did back then, and you guys were the instigators. And I just want you to remember that. You know, don't do things like that. We took that violin away from your brother, and he might have been a virtuoso." So I said, "Thank you, Mom."
Nothing like a mom. You know? That is a great story. Say, I had something to say before she left.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Oh, would you like to hear another one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just...
We'll reminisce. We'll go back to my brother Barry. I mentioned he's a volcanologist. And we got a little song called "Barry, Go On, Put Yourself on the Mountain." Barry, go on, put yourself on the mountain. Put yourself on the mountain, I suppose. No, you won't come back till you find you a foxhole or a skunk if you smell it close. Ah, Johnny, go on, put yourself in the movies, put yourself in the movies, I suppose. No, you won't come back till you're up on the screen with the Hoffmans or Pacinos, the Bogarts or the Brandos. And late last night, Daddy telling stories, he's the FBI and he's bound for glory. Danger on the docks, boys, don't you know? Well, it took me 6 years to be sure he was a golf pro. Let me tell you about that, Shay. My dad, a little stop right here. My dad, he was a poor kid, grew up in Yonkers, and one time he hopped the fence and to a golf course, and somehow or other he learned to play the game and got to be a caddy and then an assistant pro and then gave lessons there at a Jewish club in Scarsdale, New York, and he became the co-head pro. You know, back in those days, a professional golfer wasn't as glamorous a life as it is now. It was, you really worked for the members, like the locker room attendant or whatever, but it was a job, good, and paid him some money, and could support his family, so he was real happy with that. And we had moved up to, the kids stayed in one room, and three of us lived in one room, bunk beds, and another bed, and Dad would come to every night. He would come to us and tell us stories. And yes, he was a golf pro during the daytime, but that was not his main occupation. We were sworn to secrecy. The truth was, he was an FBI agent. And every night he would tell us stories about the previous night's escapades, about capturing smugglers on the docks or something like that, and we couldn't wait for us to tell us, and we were sworn to secrecy. We couldn't tell anybody. And I don't know when it wore off my brothers, but it stayed with me for a long damn time. My first year of high school, somebody said to me, "What does your father do?" I had this so ingrained in me, Che, you know, that they asked me, and I said, "Well, I wasn't sure if I could confide in this guy, Willie. He was going to be my schoolmate." I said, "Willie," I said, "Well, most people think he's a..." And all of a sudden, I stopped myself. I said, "Oh, my God. My father's a golf professional." That was my first realization. So, late last night, Daddy's telling stories. He's the FBI, and we're bound for glory. Danger on the docks. Boys, don't you know? Took me 6 years to be sure he was a golf pro. Johnny. Now, Jamie, go on, put yourself in music, put yourself in the music, I suppose. Now you won't come back till you're up on the stage with the Louvin Brothers, some of those. Now, Barry left a note for Daddy, said he stole $10 from your pants. Me and Jamie gonna tuck a whole station, gonna give that old train a chance. That's true, I was 6 years old and Barry was eight, and my brother, Che, he said he wanted us to go for a ride in the train. My parents were not in the house at the time, and we were going to run away, basically. Barry stole $10 from the pants, and I didn't want to go. It was freezing cold out, and the snow was coming down, but I always felt like I had to give my brother the benefit of the doubt. Tell you the truth, he was the favorite boy, I guess because the grandparents liked him, but from my side of it, you know, I thought I was the favorite because I was at home all the time with my mom and dad, so I felt bad for my brother Barry. He wasn't sharing. So I would do anything he said just to be nice to my underprivileged brother Barry. So I went away with Barry. I didn't want to go on the train, but we went about 2 miles away to the train station, and I was so cold, he took the $10, "Come on, I'm going to get you chocolate malted and a hamburger. Well, you'll feel better. I promise you, you'll feel better. Then we'll go for a ride in the train." I said, "No, Barry, I don't want to go for a ride in the train." So finally, we had the chocolate malted and the hamburger, and because I persisted I wouldn't go on the train. He said, well, you have to come up on the mountain with me. I got, there's a little hill up here, Mile Square Woods, and there's got a little cave in it. And I know this cave, and I haven't been able to fit in it, but you could fit in it. You can down there tell me what's inside. And I was, oh, no, I don't want to do it. But I went up there with him. He held my feet, put me down in this hole. It was more like a damn foxhole, I think. I didn't know what the hell was down there. I said, I can't see a thing. I don't know nothing. Took me back up. He said, okay, we'll go home. We'll go home. He was mad at me. So down the hill we went, and the police cars coming along the road. And Barry says, hop over the bushes. So we hopped over the bushes, and policemen came and stood next to me. I remember seeing boots. That's all I could see. And the guy said, that's it, boys. You're going home. We went home, and Mom and Dad were there. And I remember the policeman, he gave us, the head of the two policemen gave us a very stern lecture. And my mother and father were just standing by. And my dad, it was always a encouraging us for toward the adventurous life, had this little twinkle in his eye, and the policeman left. He said, went for a little adventure, boys, huh? He said, well, listen, I think it's better you don't do that one again. And late last night, Daddy's telling stories. He's the FBI, and he's bound for glory. Danger on the docks, boys, don't you know? Took me 6 years to be sure he was a golf pro. Then Barry, go on, put yourself on the mountain, put yourself on the mountain, I suppose. Won't come down till you find you a foxhole or a skunk gives you smelly clothes.
Great story, it's just great.
Thanks, Jay.
You know, I need to tell the listeners out there that they are tuned to KBMR FM in Nevada City, California, and to thank these kind folks here for their part in bringing us this last hour programming today. So thanks to Foothill Flowers, serving the Foothill communities of Grass Valley and Nevada City since 1966. They're at 102 West Main Street in downtown Grass Valley. Foothill Flowers and the Johnson family, one of KVMR's longtime supporters, and they are at 530-273-2296. And thanks also to Wright Built Home Remodel and Design, offering creatively designed remodels of kitchens, baths, and additions since 1983. Wright Built's showroom is located at 1072 East Main in Grass Valley. They can be reached at 530-272-6657 or online at wrightbuilt.biz. WrightBuilt.biz. Wright Built Home Remodel and Design, Foothill Flowers. Thank you both for your support of community radio. Chip Taylor,
yes,
right here in the studio. Thank you for stopping by, and John, thanks for coming all the way out here to the West Coast.
It's really worth it. It's beautiful.
Cool.
Great station.
Well, just do whatever you like.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
I'm just going to play. I'm enjoying this.
Yeah, do it.
Okay. Way back in Memphis, they singing blues. Back home in Yonkers, we had nothing to choose. There's no country, no race records, just some old white fluff stuff. And for some of us boys, just wasn't good enough. And in a Mount Vernon basement, in Guardiac's old house, well, it was Greg, Ted, and me, and we was churning them out. And it was country, and it was country, country again. And Sister Susan just loves what the neighbors can't stand. Sawmill River Road, Sawmill River Road, it's a stop off in Ardsley, just east of the parkway. Sawmill River Road. the rebel in you. You take your 56 Chevy, that old Chat and Chew. And at the Chat and Chew, Che, there was a band called Hudson Valley Boys. And that was the only other country band in town. It was me and my boys. We were the Town and Country Brothers, and they were the Hudson Valley Boys. And when I would come in to the Chat and Chew, the leader of the group, Joe, they were from upstate New York, actually, closer to where John Platani is from. And Joe would say, Jamie, that's what, J.W., he called me, James Wesley. He'd say, J.W., I saw you walk in here. Come on up on the stage and sing that song. We've all been waiting. And I couldn't wait for him to ask me. I'd get up on the stage, and my girlfriend Joan would be there, mother of my children now. And I'd get up on the stage, and Joe would hand me one of the guitars, and I'd get up, and I'd do this song. Well, I taught the weeping willow how to cry, cry, cry. Showed the clouds how to cover up that clear blue sky. But the tears that cried for that woman are gonna flood you, big river. And I'm gonna sit right here until I die. Well, I met her accidentally in St. Paul, Minnesota. And it tore me up every time I heard her draw that southern draw. But then my dreams went back downstream, cavorting in Davenport. And I followed you, big river, when you called. Oh, guitar. Stop off in Ardsley, just east of the parkway. Sawmill River Road, feed the rebel in you. You take your 56 Chevy, that old Chad and Jew. It was the Hudson Valley Boys on a good Friday night, singing, do what you did, what you done me last night. And the neighbors got angry, and the police came around. You keep playing that song, boys, we'll be shutting you down. Singing Sawmill River Road, Sawmill River Road. It's a stop off in Ardsley, just east of the park. And Sawmill River Road, be the rebel. Take your 56 Chevy to that old Chad.
These are great stories. Just great stories. You're a great storyteller.
Thank you, Shay. Thank you.
Of course, that's the deal, isn't it?
Well, with this album, more than other, you know, it just takes me back there to that period of time, and I love revisiting that. I could just picture the Chat and Chew and walking in and getting up on how wonderful that was for me to be singing Johnny Cash's Big River all back when I'm 15 years old, and then to later on get to know him and have him record one of my songs and stuff like that. And so this stuff is treasured memories for me. You know,
Which one of your songs did he do?
He did a thing called "Clean Your Own Tables." I had an album called "Last Chance." It wasn't a big hit, but he just recorded it and liked the song. And when I did a version of "Big River" later, he sent a note to saying how much he loved my version, which is a treasured possession of mine. So I had a nice little relationship and memories with John.
That's really cool. He was I never knew him, but it was seemed like a really good man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you've had quite a bit of commercial success in your time, too, writing songs, eh?
Yeah, well, you know, when I was back in that period of time, I loved country music, and I got into business as a country writer. And I had a thing for Willie Nelson. It was one of the first things I had recorded. And I was a golf pro. My dad was a golf pro. I turned pro, but I wanted to be in the music business. And then Willie recorded one of my songs, and I kind of was in a little more then. That was a big deal for me. And then all of a sudden, Chet Atkins heard one of my songs and wrote the publisher that he was going to record the song. It was a thing called "Springtime" by the Brown family. And then he said he wanted to hear every song I wrote. He said it was hard for him to imagine that I was from New York, but he wanted to hear every song I wrote wherever I was.
I can understand that, actually.
So I started sending him songs, and I had songs recorded by Eddie Arnold and John Loudermilk and Bobby Bear. I had a hit with Bobby Bear, and then I was in the business getting all these country folks to record them. But then one day I picked up the guitar and I started fooling around with. I love the Race Records from down south, and I was signed to a Race Record label. I was signed to King Records as a rockabilly artist when I was 16. That group, just when I was going to the Chat and Chew, that next year I was signed to all black record label, which is amazing to me. By a wonderful A&R guy, the guy that signed Hank Ballard and the Midnighters and James Brown, signed me.
So which one of your songs caught their attention? Or do you know?
Oh, yeah, I tell you, it was the first song I ever wrote. And you can imagine, here's this guy, Henry Glover, a black fella, who just loved music. He was and I wrote this song, let's do it now, John, because... Faded blue, that's the kind of feeling. And honey, I got from loving you. Faded blue skies, they came a-stealing on that day you told me we were through. Let's go to the bridge, John Fisker. Broken hearts come from broken promises, and broken promises they came from you. Clear blue sky comes from a love that will not die, but you broke my heart in two, and now my skies are faded blue. Faded blue, that's the kind of feeling. Honey, I got from loving you. Faded blue skies, they came stealing on that day you told me we were through. Now, when I did the demo of that song, Che, that was a little thing I wrote. It was one of the first songs I ever wrote, and I did the demo of that with the country band, and it was like a rockabilly record. I sounded like a sped-up Ricky Nelson or something. Uh-huh. But Henry Glover heard it and just loved that song, and so we cut rockabilly-ish kind of things.
So it was a little more up-tempo than the country sound, or was that it?
It was kind of like, maybe a little bit more up-tempo than this, but it was the guitar player that played with me, ended up playing with Tammy Wynette, but he was more of a garage country guy, so it was a little electric. We didn't even have a bass player. We just had two guitars and a drummer that played a little bit like Ringo Starr, and that was it. That was our groove. And so Henry Glover, but Henry Glover heard, you know, and I had another thing called... There's one thing, baby, don't hit the spot and wake me every morning at 12 on the dot. Say we're gonna step and put on your shoes, and I got the midnight blues. Well, you say you take me here and then you take me there. I don't wanna go anywhere. I can't win, baby, I gotta lose. Got the midnight blues, so it was like that kind of thing. So those were the demo kind of things that Henry Glover heard and signed me to King Records. But I wasn't doing any good as an artist. I recorded them and put them out, and I wasn't making any money. Made a little bit of noise in the charts, but nothing much. And
so did you do something with King Records?
I signed. I had several records.
You did sign with them,
Signed with. Had several records.
Or is that what you're talking about?
I wasn't making enough money to survive, so I started writing songs and for other people, and that's when I started to do okay, because financially, I started making enough money to survive and not have to turn to being a golf professional, which was my second choice. Music was my first. So, so then I was writing those things by Willie Nelson and Bobby Bear and John Loudermilk and the Brown family, I was doing okay.
You had all the right guys picking him up, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it was mainly because of Chet, because Chet liked myself so much.
He was
much.
Handling all those people.
Well, he was an artist. People don't know, a lot of people don't know, that he was not only the brilliant guitarist, but he was also the head of RCA Victor's A&R department. So he had a lot of, you know, when he liked a song, he would pretty much get cut. So one day I was doing a demo for a country song for that I was going to send to Chet, and then I started fooling around with this using the Race Records influence, a little bluesy kind of thing like that. And instead of doing the country song, I went to the studio and I did this one. Sing, you make everything groovy. Come on, wild thing. Wild thing, I think I love you, but I wanna know for sure. Come on, hold me tight. I love you, wild thing. You make my heart sing. You make everything groovy. Come on, wild thing. John Putin. Shake it one time for me, baby, baby. You look so good, girl. Feel that thing. Come on, come on. Wild thing. Shake it one time for me, baby.
That's a nice arrangement. I like that a lot.
That's we did that instead of the country song, and that changed everything for me. So and then I. So I still kept getting some country recordings, but then all of a sudden people wanted my rock and roll things. And,
so how many times had that song been recorded?
Oh, I don't know.
You did all right with that one, huh?
Yeah. Well, it was nice because I've been very fortunate to have so many cool artists record. I mean, first of all, the Trogs were very cool artists. They were probably the first punk group there ever was. So they were, from you know, in the wrong part of town, and they weren't very educated musically, but they were a great little group, and very authentic, and Jimi Hendrix heard their record and loved it, so that's why Jimmy did it, because he heard the Trogs record and loved the Trogs record. Uh-huh. And the Trogs record was very similar to my demo, with the ocarina solo and everything in it. My engineer did it with a, like you do with your hands, like with a blade of grass, except that he didn't use the grass, and he was doing it when I was listening back. I said, I like that, Ron. I said, I'll hum you something, and had to put it on, and the Trogs thought it was an ocarina and copied that. And, and so I owe a lot to Ron Johnson, because that was a cool little instrumental.
It's the folk process, huh?
Yeah. And then Jimi Hendrix got it, and all of a sudden, it becomes the coolest song in the world when Jimmy does something, So and then I had this... Fortunately, with Janis Joplin, I tried just a little bit harder with Janis, and then so many great folks recorded my things. But it all started out with this country kid from Yonkers, New York, writing country songs and loving, listening to Wheeling, West Virginia, late at night on the radio. And
I remember that one.
Yeah, so that was a big deal. So I ended up having some other nice things. I had. One of the nice things I had is this girl named Evie Sands. I worked with her with my friend Al Gorgoni, and we produced her, and she did the original Angel of the Morning, which is we've been a hit, big hit now three times, and Evie's company went bankrupt, so she never got any credit for it, but they copied Evie's record when they did Merrily Rush's record, and it's a thing that Al and I recorded with Evie, and then Evie had the original I Can't Let Go, which the Hollies cover that, so we were successful as writers, but not as for Evie. Poor Evie was left behind. Then I finally made a hit with Evie with a thing I had written that had been a hit before a few times, but became a big hit with Evie, called Any Way That You Want Me. So we were off and running. We had a bunch of little things that were successful back in those days. But cool. It all started in Yonkers.
Has to start somewhere. Yonkers is as good a place as any. Yeah, so this was... How old are you, Chip?
I hate to tell you. They have this bio floating around that has me at 44, but I'm 5 years older than that.
So not 39 like Jack Benny.
That's me, excuse me, 64. I should say 40.
That's more like it. I figured we're about the same vintage here. So listened to a lot of the same stuff growing up, yeah. So, John, you're playing a little a Baby Taylor over there, huh?
Yeah, this is Chip's Taylor. I know.
Chip Taylor's Taylor.
Yeah, Mr. I Taylor's got it just Taylor. As a, I got it because we're, most of my friends, like John Frine and Lucinda and all those folks, they're big enough stars where they can carry a whole entourage with a lot of guitars. Well, I can't, so I got a little Baby Taylor in case I break a string and I don't have to bother.
I think those are great little guitars for what they are.
Two Taylors besides.
Do you?
I love Taylors.
But
they're consistent, that's for sure.
Very consistent.
Yeah.
Wonderful sounding little guitar.
They are. I bought one of those for my son a few years ago when he got, interested in playing guitar. And for the first couple of weeks, he couldn't get away from me. And I went, this is a cool little guitar,
Bob Taylor's listening.
What's that? Your old Bob's listening. So have you played one of the Archtops?
No, with Van I played the The acoustic electric one. Is that the one you're talking about?
Well, no. Taylor's got a new acoustic archtop out.
You mean like a jazz box?
Yeah.
Wow, no.
You haven't seen those?
He's moving fast, Bob.
He is moving. All those guys are moving fast, yeah. It seems like. All the guitar guys, you know. Slowing down a little. Anyway, so you told me you played McCabe's, you played Freight and Salvage, right. And you're going to be in Davis.
Davis tonight.
And where is that?
In
Winters.
In Winters.
Oh, over at Winters.
Yeah,
at the Palms.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
And what? Where from there?
Then we're heading. We're going to do Mountain Stage.
Uh huh.
We're going to do a couple of more radio things in Northern California. Then do a Mountain Stage in a few days, and then back to New York and do a couple of state shows in New York. Then after Thanksgiving, we're going to do a show at the Birchmere in Washington, D.C. area, and then come back to New York City and play a big show in New York.
Cool. So you got busy boys, huh?
Yeah.
So are you going to, is John coming with you on all this trip?
Yeah, he better.
Yeah.
Good.
None of this Van Morrison stuff.
I'm committed now. Van calls on, sorry, Van.
That's right. I have to put him in a contract now. That's it.
So do you work a lot in New York State? I know there's a million jobs back there.
You know, tell you the truth, aside from very recently, I was more known other places. In Texas, I'd be Sweden or in Holland or in England. I would have more of a following than I would in my hometown in New York. But but it's changing a little now.
Good.
They made the Yonkers New York had a special day for me last week. It was Chip Taylor Day in Yonkers, New York.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah,
that is
really
great.
It was wonderful. I had my grandkids there, and they presented me with a wonderful plaque, and they read off the proclamation as to why, and it was a wonderful proclamation.
How nice.
Yeah.
How really
people
nice.
People from my high school, Stepanek High School, were there, and that was just really nice. So.
That's very nice. You know, it reminds me, one of Merle Haggard's songs got a line in it that goes, did a little time for the things I did in Bakersfield. Oh, it's a Bakersfield song. It says 10 years later, it made me man of the year in Bakersfield.
Yeah, right. It's almost like that. Down a little bit in
so
New York City.
You lived long enough, yeah.
I got the smell of the that underground place down there.
In the tombs.
You're right, exactly. Yeah, you know.
Well, you got another one for us here?
Sure.
Well,
here, I'll take you back to, as I mentioned, my dad was a golf professional. Monday was his day off. He worked hard on the weekends to service the members, and on Mondays he wanted to be with his boys, so he got a little tired of waiting for us to get out of school, so he called the principal and told her Monday was a Czechoslovakian holy day. The boys had to get out early from school, so... So we got out early and went to 2 double-featured movies every Monday, and we couldn't wait for Mondays to roll around to be with Mom and Dad. And one of the things we would do before we went to the double-featured movies, we stopped by the train stations. I loved the train stations, going there with Dad. Have the most wonderful memories of it. Dad used to love to talk to the conductors, and I remember that. And so here's a little of me reminiscing about a Monday with the family. Got a reservation down at Nepahan Station. Flatten your nickels, boys, and wave that train goodbye. It'll be on time. It's the Hudson River line. God bless America and that charcoal sky. Now, boys, this is Harry. He's a conductor for the Putnam Division. He's been doing it for 18 years, and he's been your daddy's friend for 9. And Harry, this is Barry, middle son John, and little Jim. Trying to teach my boys about that charcoal sky. Got a reservation down in Nepahan Station. Flatten your nickels, boys, and wave that train goodbye. It'll be on time. It's the Hudson River line. God bless America and that charcoal sky. Now, since the 1860s, boys, we've been pushing up steam. And you know I still hear those wheels every time I close my eyes. And without that steam, boys, there'd be no American dream. And Daddy said, God bless you, Harry. We'll see you by and by. Got a reservation down at Nepperhan Station. Flatten your nickels, boys, and wave that train goodbye. It'll be on time. It's the Hudson River line. God bless America and that charcoal sky. Wave goodbye to Harry, boys. The caboose, she's rolling. See him running to catch up to her. Oh, don't he catch her every time? And when he hops on board, boys, give a wave. Time we started going. Soon around that bend, we'll see that charcoal sky. Got a reservation down at Nepperhan Station. Flatten your nickels, boys, and wave that train goodbye. It'll be on time. It's the Hudson River line. God bless America that charcoal sky.
Nice writing. Really nice.
Thank you
guys so much.
Thanks so much.
You know, you mentioned earlier, Chip, that you're a stream of consciousness songwriter, and I know you've been doing this for a long time, and most probably you just fall into writing songs, but is there any way you... Any time they come easier, or how do you approach them,
I can give you a good example of that with probably my biggest copyright is Angel of the Morning. And I remember the day I wrote that song, I was thinking about that I wanted to write. I had the feeling that day, I was listening to the radio, and I hated the ballads of the day, and I said I wanted to write something that really had some passion, some juice to it. Mm-hmm. And I was fooling around, here's a typical way I would write. I started playing these chords, and I'm a very, very modest musician. I don't know much about music, so I was taking my finger off the C chord, and I couldn't. Now I know it's a suspension, but I didn't know it then. So, and I liked the sound of this. And I just kept playing these chords over and over again. And a typical thing would have me humming nonsense words, like let's say, if I was doing it now, I'd say something like, oh, baby, don't you do that to me, come on, don't you do, I like the way you look at me now, oh, you feel, and I was doing that kind of stuff, and nothing really was coming out that I really loved or that was giving me a chill. And then I stop, and then I put it down, and then I pick it up, and I still felt that this feeling felt good. So I kept going. And then finally I said, maybe a half hour after I started, this line came out that gave me a chill, and I didn't think of what it was. I didn't try to say these words. The words just came out. So here's what happened. I went, there'll be no strings to bind your hands, not if my love can't bind your heart. Well, when those words came out, I said, what the heck? I had such a chill all over my body. I put the guitar back on. I didn't have a mini tape recorder back in those days to save it. I just said, okay, there'll be no strings to bind your hands, not if my love can't bind your heart. And I said, oh, I wrote the words down on a piece of paper. And I did it again. And I said, and I kept saying, and then all of a sudden, the rest of it just kind of flowed out of me. And I think the song from that point was totally finished within 15 minutes. And so I went, there'll be no strings to bind your hands, not if my love can't bind you. Now, I'm not thinking of anything to say. I'm not thinking of who I am. I don't know if I'm a girl, a boy, or what the hell I am. And then I said, and there's no need to take a stand. It was I who chose to start. Now, I love that. I didn't know what the hell that meant. But then the rest of it came real easy. I see no need to take me home. I'm old enough to face the dawn. Just call me angel of the morning, angel. Just touch my cheek before you leave me, baby. Just call me angel of the morning, angel. Then slowly turn. Maybe the sun's light will be dimmed, and it won't matter anyhow. If morning's echo says we've sinned, honey, it was what we needed. And if we're victims of the night, I won't be blinded by the light. Just call me angel of the morning, angel. Just touch my cheek before you leave me, baby. Just call me angel of the morning, angel. Then slowly turn away. I won't beg you to stay. Through the tears, baby. Of the day. La-dee-da, la-da. Of the sweet, sweet day, baby. Baby, all the years. Oh, baby. Oh, my baby. Just call me angel of the morning. Just touch my cheek before you leave me, baby. Just call me angel
Thank you.
Kept going. I didn't know.
Yeah, that was really nice. You've got them walking in on you. That's that's better than walking out on you, I guess. Anyway, we're about to run out of time
thanks so much, Jay.
Want to do another one before you leave, or do you? One thing I want to ask: this new collection of songs you have, the new recording. Do you have that with you? Will you have it for sale over there tonight?
Yes, we'll have it at the Palms.
At the Palms, and it's 8 o'clock show.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you have it. Well, why don't you do one more, and then we'll chat a little bit.
Sure.
This
is just a little silly little thing called Yonkers Girls, taking me back.
Cool.
Oh, we do this in up there, John, don't we? I need a minute to think, baby, I need a drink. I need a single malt scotch from the west under gray open skies. Here's mud in your eye, and here's looking at you. Come on and string me along, come on and sing me a song. Come on and wear what you wore when you were sure you'd be reeling me in. Like warm whiskey and gin, here's looking at you. The Yonkers girls go, yeah, yeah. Crestwood girls go, mmm. Scarsdale girls go, do. Crestwood girls go, mmm. Larchmont girls go, no, no, no,
no, no, no.
Yonkers girls go, do. That's the way that it goes, and that's the way it should be. Well, every girl ought to know that it's free. She's got the power of piano music, is true. Honey, here's looking at you. Here comes John with Daniel. Girls go, yeah,
yeah.
Crestwood girls go, mmm. Scarsdale girls go, totally, 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 totally. Larchmont girls go, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Pelham girls go, no, no, no,
no, no, no.
The Yonkers girls go, no. That's the way that it goes, and that's the way it should be. Well, every girl ought to know that it's free. She got the power of piano music, is true. Here's looking at you. You got the power of piano music, is true. Honey, here's looking at you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
All righty, Chip Taylor in concert over at the Palms tonight, along with John. Your last name again?
Platania. Right.
Great. Well, thanks so much, guys, for coming by. It's just been a joy.
And thank you, Jim.
If you ever get back in this part of the country, don't pass us by, please.
All right, so. We look forward to seeing you.
Yeah.
All righty. Thanks again. Let's see. Where will I go? I think...